Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, humanistic psychotherapist Carolyn Hauser Carson.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest Emily Davidson. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I love our show. You know, I always learn something, and I love to learn, and I love to grow. And today, we're going to be learning so much. And it reminded me of something that I was learning and posting about this weekend. So there's something called... Is it chirophobia? I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But I saw this article and I thought, if that's not life-changing. And it was life-changing to me for many reasons. So chirophobia is the fear of being happy. And I thought, you know, is this something like, you know, just labeling things? But then I and just, you know, there's something for you can take this for that. Or no, actually, as I was reading through it, I started to read things about people that I knew. Anxiety when you're invited to a social gathering, passing on opportunities that could lead to positive life changes due to the fear of something bad will happen, refusing to participate in fun activities, thinking being happy will mean something bad will happen, thinking happiness makes you a bad or worse person, believing that showing happiness is bad for you or your friends or family, thinking that trying to be happy is a waste of time and effort. I know people like this. I've known people like this all my life, and I've actually heard people say things like that. Oh, if you laugh too much, that means you'll cry tomorrow. And I mean, I grew up with this, and I somehow have attracted people in my life who obviously have chirophobia. And I think, wow, I felt bad for some of these people. And I also, of course, went to look at what are ways that can that people like this can be helped. And there have been times when I didn't understand and I'd say, you know, what's wrong with you? And these people didn't even know that this was their way of life and that they were not only putting this on themselves or it was on them, but they were putting it on other people. And here we went along in ignorance of whether it's an actual dis-ease or whatever we want to call it, it is certainly a condition. It is certainly something. And I was thinking as we were getting ready for our show today, by the way, we posted this on our Life Changes page on Facebook, and it's our Life Changes Moment 90, number 917, if you want to read up more on it. But I thought, well, wait a minute, we're talking about something like, you know, being afraid of being happy, but with the topic that we're talking about today, can go so much deeper. And so I was thinking there are people that walk around with chirophobia, or there are people that walk around with abuse issues from childhood, sexual abuse issues, which affect so much of our lives. Like, how many issues are there that we're all walking around with, and how do we help each other? So today we've got our guest, and happily so, who's come into the show, Carolyn Hauser Carson. I should say Dr. Carolyn Hauser Carson, to help us with healing from sexual trauma. And also, we're going to be joined by our musical guest, Emily Davidson, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere. And Mark, I can't help but think of that. I think it's an Indian saying, until you walk a mile in someone's moccasins, you really don't know. their story. And sometimes they don't even know their story.
Oftentimes they don't know their story. They don't remember it, or it comes up later in life through, you know, recollection, like we're going to hear a little bit about today.
Yeah.
You know, usually I try to kick the show off with something, with a little bit of a giggle, but I'm not there. This is such an important topic, and even your monologue brought up so many topics within there. Boy, I don't know even where to start. I'm really looking forward to hearing what Dr. Carolyn has to share.
Well, and so am I. She is a humanistic psychotherapist, a naturopathic doctor. She's a speaker. She's an author. And today we're going to be talking, amongst other things, about her book, Blossom, 7 Steps to Sexual Healing. We welcome Carolyn Hauser-Carson on the show. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thanks for having me.
What a pleasure to have you. And thank you for driving all the way down here from beautiful Santa Barbara to be with us today.
Oh, I'm so glad to get out of the house.
I understand. I understand. So many of us work at home these days. And you know, what Mark was just saying about how hard to find a giggle. Thank you for giggling.
Yes.
Right from the start. and also what he was saying is the discovery. So you have several stories to share. And one of them you didn't even discover you had a story about until you were about 30 years old.
Yes.
So how do we get to that?
So basically, my story is that I struggled with anorexia and bulimia in my teenage years, and I was sexually molested during that time as well, and found a way to beat the eating disorders in my early 20s. And that kind of brought me onto a path of becoming a healer or studying healing. So when other people went to college and partied, I spent basically what other people spent on a down payment for a house on healing and learning about healing.
Yes, yes.
And so
you were building the house inside.
Exactly. I kept telling my mom, it's going to pay off someday. You know, I'm working on myself, I know, but it's going to pay off, I promise.
And here you are.
So by the time I was almost 30, I thought I had worked through everything. I had started seeing people, and then something very interesting happened with the birth, not with the birth, but when my daughter turned 3, which was when I was 31. All these feelings started flooding me, and I started realizing that I actually had been molested as a child much earlier. And, you know, I never knew why I had the eating disorders. They started when I was 10, and my life was, as you know, to my recollection, was really good. So when in my 30s, when I then found out that this had started at 3, then a lot of things made sense. It made sense why I had the eating disorders. It made sense why I had struggled with so many things in my life. My mom always said, like, we didn't beat you. Like, why is your self-esteem so low? I don't get it, you know? And so lots of stuff just fell into place. And so then with me having had all that training and then finding out, I went into a crisis and luckily had a spiritual teacher who said to me, well, you know, there is something deeper here for you, and most likely you're meant to really help other people. And so I took that, and while I was developing Blossom, I actually took a group of women through the process and got their feedback, and then based on their feedback, wrote the book. So I didn't just go on my own journey. I took people with me, and the whole time I felt like I wasn't just doing this for myself. I was doing this for a much greater purpose, and it really helped, and that's how the book came to life, basically.
The fact that you could just say all that in that short of time, and every other word is a huge story and a huge issue. Could we talk about bulimia for a second? Why did that make sense? How do you correlate the two?
So what I realized later in life is that I had a pattern of giving away my power, and it started with me being 3 and my grandfather, he was an alcoholic, and touching me inappropriately, and me basically not going to an adult, to my parents, or even say something to him or smack him on his fingers or something. I could have done something. But I really loved him, and I still love him and adored him. And so I, in that moment, I basically gave him away the power that I had, even as a 3-year-old, by not saying anything. And I sacrificed myself for the love of another human being. And the eating disorders were really a way for me to try to gain power back. So when you can survive on 500 calories and not eating all day, it's like a superpower, right? So it was just the compensation for feeling extremely powerless because I had this pattern of giving away my power.
Wow. One thing is tied to another thing is tied to another thing. And You talk about in the book, Seven Steps to Sexual Healing. Does it get into all of that? Because it seems so intricate. There's so many issues involved.
Yes, and I'm really...
Emotional, energetic, yes. Social, sexual.
Yes, and it's a whole bunch of things, but I really try to make things simple for people so that I'm German, so Germans are very practical. and obviously sexual trauma, sexual abuse, it's a huge taboo and very scary for a lot of people. So my intention and my way of dealing with this is really helping people to understand, yes, there's all the psychological stuff and the emotional stuff, but it really is much more an issue with helping yourself heal your body, because ultimately when trauma happens, it's much more of an energetic impact than a psychological or emotional even.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the emotions generate energy, and the energy stays stuck. It's literally like a current, right? Like electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine your body is a house, and the trauma is like the house being hit by lightning. Mm. And so if lightning hits the house, then everything inside the house, kind of like all the electrical wires melt and break down, and then the energy in the house doesn't flow, and the house doesn't function. The things in the house don't function. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with you and your body. And so in the book...
to everybody else, that house looks fine.
Yeah, exactly, from the outside.
And so we could go through life being, quote-unquote, fine.
Yeah.
Nobody would know.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, but the reality is that house runs on much lower energy and has much less power, literal power, to do stuff. Because to create what you want in life, it takes tremendous energy, right? Because there's always stuff that wants to keep us off track or pulling, mm-hmm. focus takes energy.
Especially in this day and age.
Yeah, so it's all about energy and learning how to help your body to be in the best energetic space that you can be. And so there are steps, because when trauma happens, you're kind of catapulted out of your body. And so you can't just all of a sudden be back into your body. It's a gentle re-entry process.
Oh, so that analogy actually goes deeper in the sense that, like, that house or that body just kind of goes through the motions. You're saying we're not really there a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Those of us who have experienced those kinds of traumas.
Yeah.
And sexual trauma is something very, it's a core, it's a fundamental,
yes.
It's not just emotional, it's like affects everything.
Yeah. Not that you can really kind of measure which trauma is worse than another,
right,
because
right.
they're all worse. But sexual trauma really goes to our core, and that's why it's so hard for people to create good relationships or create something good for them after, because there's so much shame and guilt connected to it, and shame and guilt are very low states of being, vibrationally speaking.
And so, how does that affect everything else?
So if everything is energy and everything vibrates at a certain level, and all the good stuff like peace and love and flow and the zone that we want to be in is a high vibrational state.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have suppressed or unconscious shame and guilt, or even conscious shame and guilt, you're basically unable to function at a higher level, because it's literally like this low vibration energy is holding you down, and thoughts or ideas or possibilities that would otherwise be available to you aren't even, you can't perceive them.
Wow.
Because you're in a different, it's literally like you're in the bottom of a house instead of going on the rooftop where you could see much further and wider. And
wow. Not that I was planning on correlating these two, but that
me neither.
That chirophobia thing, it's like, how can they be in the happy? Because they know that's not sustainable for them, because they haven't dealt with this stuff. So why even bother or be happy or try and be happy or do something?
Yeah,
happy
and our subconscious wants to keep us safe, and the known is safe.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
If the basement is what's known,
yeah,
it's safer for you to stay there, and leaving the basement would create anxiety.
Whether we like it there or not,
whether
we're familiar.
Consciously like it there or not, but our subconscious makes up 95% of
wow.
who we are.
Wow.
And it lives in the body. A lot of people think the subconscious is something that floats, somewhere. Our cells are part of our subconscious. Our physical body is part of the subconscious memory.
Wow. Well, whether one of the things that I also think is interesting about this book and this topic is that you've been talking about it and working with it and helping people for a while, and the book itself was written 6 years ago and didn't get as much attention as, thankfully at least, it's getting now. And so we'll talk about that when we come back right after this here on the Life Changes Show with our guest, Carolyn Hauser Carson. And a little later, we're going to have live music here in the studio, cello music, actually, with Emily Davidson on the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Dr. Carolyn Hauser Carson, who is a humanistic psychotherapist, a naturopathic doctor, a speaker, and an author, and so many more things. We're talking about her book today, amongst other things, Blossom, 7 Steps to Sexual Healing. To learn more about her, go to Women in the Flow, womeninthetheflow.com, and you could also get the book there. And one of the things that I think is interesting about this book is that it came to our attention just very recently in the past month or so. And here we are happily having this conversation. But the book came out 6 years ago, and obviously she's been talking about it for a long time. And when the book came out, before a lot of women were talking about this, she says that some men were talking to her about the book saying, we really need this book, something like that. What was going on there?
I need to bring this to my wife, and thank you for doing this work, and you're so needed, and my sister needs you, and my mother needs you, and keep doing this good work. And I wasn't making any money at the time, but I got a lot of encouragement. Yeah.
Were they buying the book, I hope?
Maybe
they couldn't. Yeah, maybe they couldn't because the wives or the women in their lives wouldn't.
Yeah, it was a lot of we really need this. Wow. But people kind of not really wanting to come to infectious disease, kind of like, yeah, we really like what you have, but don't come too close.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't go there yet themselves.
Yeah.
And as a society, obviously, we couldn't. And now we're being forced to.
Yes.
And why? Why?
I think because of the time is right, you know. For anybody who, and I'm just taking this from my own journey, you know, I remembered when I was ready, right? And so I think in everybody's journey, they are given what they can take at any given time. So I think as a society, we can heal from it if we choose to, right? If we choose to, because it's also an opportunity to just start blaming and seeing fault and starting to point fingers and go into a different direction.
So we could go either way, and we're choosing to blossom.
Hopefully, yeah.
And so what is some of the work that you see out there right now that that women are responding to from what you're sharing?
My hope is really that people can shift out, and everybody, you know, anybody, and I still do this in my life where I feel like, oh my God, this is happening to me in other areas, but to get out of the state where we're pointing fingers and being stuck in kind of a victimhood mentality where we feel like, oh, something, this happened to me and there's nothing I can do to make it undone and I'm broken for life and it's all the other person's fault, or if it's not, you know, if it's not the other person's fault, then it's my fault and I brought this onto myself. So staying in this paradigm of fault and trying to need to find fault or and it's really not helping with healing. So I'm hoping that while it is very painful and while, you know, what somebody did to you was very wrong, to find a space, if this has happened to you, where you can start, and this is very, very challenging, and some people really get very triggered and mad when I say this, so I'm learning to say it in a way that is least inflammatory, is to, instead of thinking, okay, you did something to bring this upon yourself, maybe consider if there was a gift in it for you, right? And for a lot of people, actually, the gift in it is that you developed extraordinary skills. And I think also up until this time, those skills might not have been that valued, like being intuitive, being sensitive, being really tuned in and so forth. But I think the times are also shifting for that, that those skills are actually being welcomed and rewarded. And so if you can see that there was a gift in what happened for you, I think that's really the most important first step, is to step out of that victimhood and kind of shame, blame, guilt triangle, because like I said before, it's very low vibrational and ultimately does not help you get happy.
Wow. So again, a lot was said there. So you started with saying that blaming whoever hurt you isn't the answer. And then I heard you say blaming yourself isn't the answer either. And so finding it's not even a happy medium. It's actually on a whole other level, the gift.
Yeah. Blame is always connected to feeling shame or guilt. So when you feel the need, or when I feel the need to blame, this is actually how I spot it in myself. When I feel the need to blame, I can be assured that there's shame and guilt behind it.
On yourself?
On myself.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, we can't look into our subconscious. We can only see what comes, like, out of our mouth or the stuff that we create. And we create a lot of what we create based on our subconscious. So one way that you can spot yourself and know, oh, I must be, you know, must be trapped in shame and guilt, is when you feel like you have to blame something, somebody, yourself, the weather, anything, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Carolyn's book accompanies you like a close friend on the most important journey of all, coming home to yourself. Kathleen Hendricks, PhD, said that. She's also co-author of Conscious Loving and the Conscious Heart. So here's someone saying that about your book and coming home to yourself. What does that mean?
To me, it really means to be at peace with who you are. And when you are at peace, you're very high vibration. Peace is one of the highest vibrational frequencies. So energetically speaking, when you're at peace, you're not in resistance to what life brings to you, and you haven't, your life experience is one of flow and ease and grace. Right? Your experience is that you're blessed, basically.
And in energetically, I think you were also saying something about actually coming into your body, in a sense, also coming into your life, as opposed
to... We can't live without, you know, we have been given a body to be on this earth.
Nice.
And I actually believe that we came here to have the most pleasurable experience that we can have, and we can't have it without the body, you know, not just talking about sex, but in general, right? We need to be in our body to experience life, period.
Okay, so how do we get in our body? I know there are 7 steps that you outlined to sexual healing. And oh, by the way, this is probably a really good time to mention that on your website, womenintheflow.com, you have a couple free gifts.
Yes, and they have to do with coming back into your body and healing your nervous system and using your body as a tool for basically using using your body as an alchemical tool to transmute negative energy into positive. So very powerful. That tool alone is responsible for me getting off the couch with chronic fatigue, bankruptcy, going through a divorce, and then within like 2 years being married to my soulmate and divine partner Paul, owning a house in the Caribbean, driving a Tesla, serving at the level that I'm serving within a very short amount of time. So it's the best tool that I can give to anybody. So go to the website and just listen to it and take yourself through it.
So and it's free there at womeninTheFlow.com.
Exactly.
All right.
And so in order to come back to your body, we have to do a couple things because, as we talked about before, our subconscious doesn't really want change because it wants to stay safe. And especially if you've gone through trauma, you know how like you don't feel safe and how often you don't feel safe and how important safety to you is, right? So we have to actually get our subconscious on board somewhat so it will allow us to move out of the basement step mm-hmm. by step. So that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second crucial step is to really learn what it feels like to be in your body. So sensory, like really learning to have sensory input. You could learn that by putting your hands under the water when you're washing the dishes and really feeling what that feels like. So it's just learning what it feels like to be in a body, right? Before touch, light touch. There's
really?
Many different walking on the sand and feeling your feet. All that stuff will help you to learn to really be in your body and learn what it feels like.
What we just that this is step two, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get back to step one, but I really resonate with that. How we go through them. I'm watching you. If you could see her on camera right now, she's actually putting her hands under the faucet and she's turning her hands and washing them right here. And it was such a great visual for me actually that I was actually like I got that. Oh, right. I wanted to put my hands under the faucet to feel the cold or the hot or the warm and to feel that water running on my hands. And we do this how many times a day? Sometimes 100 or something?
Yeah.
And when was the last time we thought about it?
Or actually experienced it, right? It brings you in the present moment when you do that. That's the whole point. The body is always in the present moment. And
nice.
In the present moment, you're always safe. You always know what to do. Everything, most of the time, everything is actually always pretty okay.
Mm. Or we're eating while we're watching TV,
exactly.
or and we have yeah. we just didn't yeah. taste
well, people
it.
People burn themselves
exactly.
cooking because they're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's me though.
Yeah.
I'm always doing something else. Burning the tortillas.
Burning the tortillas. She's so specific. Okay, so
it's a running joke.
So the first step again
is bringing your mind on board. So. Allowing your subconscious to understand what we're actually doing so that you can move out of the basement and, it feeling safe, basically. It's safe to go on this journey into your emotions and feeling and so forth.
It seems like this can apply to so many
yes.
issues.
Yes, yes. There is only universal truth, right? This is nothing new. It's just universal principles and truth that maybe I've put them into a more logical, understandable order, or maybe I'm presenting it differently because I've, worked through it. And like I said, I like to make things easy and simple and practical and so people can actually understand what they mean.
Well, this is new to the people that need to hear it now. And may people be hearing what we're talking about. You, according to your book here, you help people connect deeply with themselves and find peace, come into their authentic power, free themselves from the past, create the loving relationship you want for a fulfilling life. I know you're big on that. And that's what you do with people one-on-one?
I do it one-on-one and mostly groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work with a lot of people who are actually entrepreneurs because as an entrepreneur, if you don't do this work, you're not going to be successful, right? So so a lot of entrepreneurs gravitate to me because, like I said, they as long as they grow, their business will keep growing. And if you don't grow, then you see the effects in your business or salespeople or people that work for themselves.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of those people come to me. And it is about creating real results, because when you change inside, then the real results outside come too.
Right. What happens on the inside is being reflected on the outside.
Exactly. Yeah.
And a lot of times what's happening on the outside, the body isn't taking in. We might be going through our motions and we're not even taking in our life. We could be successful, quote unquote, in the eyes of everybody else. But if we're not in our body, if we're not experiencing it.
Yeah. If you're not happy, if you don't feel a sense of ease and peace, you know, what is all the outer success, right? At the end of the day, what we all want is to feel good about ourselves and have love and connection and the juicy stuff, right?
Well, I'm feeling good that we're having this conversation today. Thank you so much. We'll have a couple more minutes with Carolyn when we come back. Carolyn Hauser Carson, and the website is womeninTheFlow.com. And when we come back, we're also going to have our Ask Dorothy segment with our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and then live music here in the studio with Emily Davidson, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Dr. Carolyn Hauser Carson. And wow, I didn't know how we were going to have this conversation or what it was going to feel like. How you made this conversation feel good and feel like there's hope and all that stuff with all the things that we've talked about is a tribute to the work that you've done on yourself and the work that you're doing, and obviously what's in blossom. You've blossomed.
Thanks.
That's
yes,
it.
You've I blossomed. Have.
You're living proof, and I love on the cover of the book. There's this woman jumping for joy. That's not you, but it should be. It's
no,
not
but
you.
You should see pictures from me 3 years ago and see pictures now, and you could see that I've definitely
just how
blossomed.
Much you've blossomed. Yes. Wow, wonderful. Well, good on you. And actually, one of the things that we started the show with, and I know we talked about it even before the show, and it seems like a great way to end is the personal power, because you said about giving your power away as a child and taking it back. What do you have to say on that for us?
Yeah, you know, power is such a topic because we don't actually have power over a lot of things. We don't have power over people outside of ourselves. We don't have power over the circumstances outside of ourselves. But what we do have power over is our internal state of being and our own vibrational state of being. And with very simple tools, we can actually learn to change ourselves in that regard and affect tremendous change in our lives. So that's where we get our power back and can become super powerful.
And I got to ask you this as we're closing here, how does that feel like?
It feels really good. It feels very good. Yep. It's a dream come true, you know. I'm from Germany and my dream was to live in America and be successful, but it's taken a long time. That was, you know, 20-year dream. So it's finally coming through. It feels really good.
Well, if a 20-year dream is finally coming true, I know people that have had dreams longer than that. So more power to you, and perhaps they can go to blossom. So it's made for women, but not just for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's universally applicable.
So, Blossom, Seven Steps to Sexual Healing, and sounds like all kinds of healing. And thank you so much, Carolyn. What a pleasure it is to meet you. And we actually, there's some people we want to introduce to you and your work that hopefully you all can together do more on women's empowerment.
Awesome.
Actually, Tess Cacciatore, who should be here any moment now. We'd love to introduce you to her and Gwen, Global Women's Empowerment Network. Mark, you're looking at me. That's not
right. There's a perfect segue.
Is that our
shout out to Gwen? Gwen,
we
Live,
didn't even talk about it. That's so funny.
Global Women's Empowerment Network, who is gathering women to join forces to share their brands and projects to provide socially conscious programming, products, and services. Speaking of for women, but not just by women.
Indeed.
Gwen.live. Check them out.
That's Gwen,
GWEN.LIVE.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Anna, and I live in Barstow, California. I am a healer and have been doing very well with my clients. A few months ago, I met another healer at an event, and she made it clear that she just didn't like me when I attempted to speak with her. I learned a long time ago to step out of judgment, and I chose to simply observe instead. Therefore, I didn't let it bother me until someone told me that this woman was telling my clients that I had bad energy and I should and to stay away from me. How should I handle the situation?
Anna, I'm happy for you to have stepped out of judgment into observation. As a teacher and healer, I too have had some people express their jealousy in this strange way. It used to bother me when I came across this kind of thing, and now I simply breathe and stay calm and ask for divine intervention by thanking the universe for showing my clients the truth about this silliness. Sometimes the clients return immediately, and at other times they stay away until they can process what is going on with the other healer. In the past, I would focus on the situation and unwisely added fuel to the fire. I don't do that anymore because I now know that it is my thoughts that create my reality. Instead, I choose to simply bless all of the people involved and move forward by choosing to be the very best me that I can possibly be. Even if a few clients don't return, I know that new ones will show up and that I can help them grow and heal. Let's remember that the only person we can ever change is ourself. To become a better me, I start every day by reading out loud a prayer that I wrote back in 2001 to help me heal. It includes Don Miguel Ruiz's four agreements, and the second agreement is life-changing, as are all four of them. The second agreement is this: I refuse to take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of me. What others do and say is a projection of their own reality, their own dreams. I am immune to the opinions and actions of others, releasing myself from needless suffering. Reading this out loud daily has worked for me, and I feel it can work for you as well. Please contact me if you'd like a copy of the whole prayer.
Thank you. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And thank you indeed. And we'll be right back after this with our musical guest, Emily Davidson, here on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Carolyn House. I don't know why I always say Carolyn Hauser Carson.
It's the only way to say it. Well,
it's the only way to say it. No, I've tried. Need to apologize. And joining us in the studio is Emily Davidson, Baroque cellist. Welcome, Emily, to the show.
Hi.
It's great to have you here. You are our second cello player in the month of cellos. And so this is special because this is also a different kind of cello. Tell us about this particular cello.
Yeah, so I'm playing on a replica of a Baroque instrument, and the Baroque period, for those who don't know, is 1600 to 1750, and this is really when the cello, violin, and viola were born and really became instruments that were being used, and the instruments back in those days have evolved a lot over the last 300 years, so this instrument that I'm playing, while it may look like a regular cello to the naked eye, it's got some different strings on it that give it a different sound, it's got a lighter bow, so it's a little bit closer to the sound that maybe Johann Sebastian Bach would have heard himself during the time period.
And you really resonate with the Baroque period. Why do you think that is? You know, there's all kinds of music being played out in the world right now. Why Baroque?
Well, I think Baroque music has always spoken to me. Maybe it's because I'm an old soul, but I was drawn to classical music from playing the cello, but when I really started to dive into the music of this particular time period, something about it felt natural to me instantly, and it felt like I was able to interpret the music without my teachers having to tell me what to do.
Wow.
I connected with it right away.
So you might be a reincarnation of one of the Bach family members. It was
Let's
a big
hope.
Family, you know. Let's hope, she says. Well, you actually did say when we were talking to you earlier, actually, Mark was talking to you, and I heard you say that you, when you're playing the cello, what happens to you?
Well, I think I sort of connect with something a little bit beyond myself. The cello is, I'm holding an instrument, but it's a lot more than that. It gives me a voice in order to express myself. So the cello is the vehicle for my voice, basically.
Nice. And you know what? Actually, the cello is unique. I know, as a singer, and even as, sometimes I'll play the piano and all that, I use my whole body. We use our whole body. But in the case of a cellist, you're actually wrapped around your instrument. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different experience than most instruments. What does that feel like? Is the sound vibrating through your legs and arms and everything?
Well, you definitely feel a bit of vibration, but like anything, you get used to it. I mean, I think violinists have it the hardest with an instrument right under their ear. I think cello actually feels pretty natural to just kind of sit with it. This instrument that I'm playing doesn't have an end pin, which is the stick that comes out of the bottom of the cello and holds it in place. So that makes my cello a little bit more strenuous. I've got to hold it actually with my legs physically, but you know, you get used to it like anything else, like driving your car or anything.
Wonderful. Well, good for you. And we're going to get to hear a couple of Baroque pieces. Surprise, mm-hmm. surprise. And so what's the first piece you've chosen?
So this is a ricercar by Domenico Gabrielli. A ricercar is an old form that we don't hear about much, but it's very similar to a prelude, which we still hear about in classical music. It's sort of an exploratory piece that often begins a set of works.
Okay. Well, here's Emily Davidson performing Ricercar number 1 by Gabrielli, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. Take that in as that just kept reverberating here in the studio. Thank you, Emily Davidson, playing the Baroque cello. And if you want to know more about Emily, go to emilyplayscello.com. That's Emily, E-M-I-L-Y, playscello.com. As a matter of fact, Emily Plays Cello is where you could find her on YouTube. Go to YouTube, and then Emily Plays Cello is her YouTube channel, and it's on Instagram and on, is it Facebook as well?
Yep.
Emily Plays Cello, you could find her there. And interestingly, we've learned something about the Baroque period and something about this particular cello. If you want to learn more, actually, and be entertained, on her YouTube channel, you have learning videos and all that. What's that about?
Yeah, so I like to talk about the Baroque period for non-musicians and musicians who are looking to learn a little bit how to play more stylistically on their instrument, because a lot of musicians who play classical instruments touch on this repertoire, but they don't know much about it or how to play it in a stylistic fashion. So I like to kind of teach people about some of the principles of that time period, what they were working with musically, and it really just kind of helps us open our ears and our eyes to what was really going on in this time period and what this music was all about.
You were saying earlier that this cello was made during the Baroque period, and actually cello, that's really where it was, that period was when it was born.
Mm-hmm.
These two pieces reflect something about that period, too. And what's that?
Yeah, so the cello, when it first came to be, was really a bassline instrument. It served like the bass. So both of these pieces that I'm playing today are really in the lower register of the cello and really almost sound like they could be bass lines. You could almost imagine a violin playing on top of this music. And that's because the cello was born as a bass line. And then as it evolved over the years and composers got more ambitious, they started playing higher and playing more melodies. But what I really love about the cello is the low notes, the bass lines, and that's what I really connect with.
And you connect with that because what is it doing as far as you're concerned? What are you doing as part of an orchestra or a piece of music?
So the bass line is the foundation for everything. Baroque composers especially wrote the bass line first with what was called figured bass, which was basically the harmony, almost like a jazz chart. So the bass line would set everything up, and then everything sort of grew out of the bass line. So when you play the bottom part, while it might not always be the most interesting part, it's actually the most important part because it's what everything else is based off of.
I love it. I can just feel you, like, I get it, of course, by all means. Well, thank you for teaching us that, and I'm excited that you're doing this because I feel your excitement and your passion for it, and I feel like there aren't enough people that have passion for anything, much less something that is, let's see, did you say 17th century? What is it? Over 300 years old?
Yes.
That's exciting. So very good. Well, so this is another piece which was like a fundamental cello piece.
Mm-hmm.
You say it's fundamental. It's fundamental to the period, but not everybody that's studying cello learns these. Do you teach them?
Yeah, so these pieces that I'm playing are a little bit more obscure, but if we look to the very beginnings of what we have for cello music, we'll find these pieces. They're kind of the birth of the cello coming into its own and being able to play pieces by itself.
So you don't always get to teach this because some people are looking for just cello, learning how to play cello.
Yeah,
cello.
More standard repertoire, which I would not call this standard, but that's what makes it a little more compelling to me.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on and doing all this. So this next piece, tell us about that.
So this is a chaconne, which is a very popular ground bass pattern. A ground bass is basically like a chord progression, playing the same four chords over and over again. But as you do it, it changes a little bit each time, and what was called ornamenting at the time, or what we may think of as improvising, we take the same chords and we sort of, each time those chords come back, we make it a little bit more interesting. So this piece is all based off the chaconne bass line.
Well, here is Emily Davidson playing the chaconne by Vitali live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you so much. Emily does play cello. EmilyPlaysCello.com. Emily Davidson, thank you so much. And, you know, it made me think for a moment while we were chatting also that if somebody said, I like that piece, and they wanted to hear it again back then, they would have had to call in the cellist. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a DVD or having a CD or a record even or anything that they could play it on. It was, they'd have to call the live musician back in. Mm-hmm. So thank you for conjuring up that for us here today.
My pleasure.
What a pleasure indeed. Baroque cellist Emily Davidson, thank you. And again, a big thank you to Carolyn Carson. This has been a very special show, and thank you to both of these ladies that have made it so. On behalf of all of us, I'd like to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Leisure, our producer, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.